We're learning how to make Wisconsin more bike-friendly this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our state is home to more than 1,000 miles of off-road biking options on public lands. That's from the DNR. Many miles of trails, of bike lanes, a variety of terrain. Where do you bike and why? What could Wisconsin do to become more bike-friendly? It's 800-642-1234. Kirsten Finn is Executive Director of Wisconsin Bike Fed. Kirsten, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we also have Amelia Neptune, who is Director of the Bicycle Friendly America Program for the League of American Bicyclists. Based in Washington, D.C., the league produces a report card for each state. Amelia, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Amelia, let's start with you and with President Biden's infrastructure plan that's working its way through Congress. It aims to revamp transportation. What would it mean for bicyclists?
Yeah, we're really excited about what we're seeing at the federal level. Overall, we're seeing huge increases for funding for biking and walking. Obviously, there's at this point, we're early enough in the process that there's a different version in the Senate and the House and what the White House is proposing. And so it still remains to be seen how it will all play out. But so far, in all three of those versions, we're seeing increasing funding for biking and walking and improved safety and equity efforts around biking and walking, which is just so exciting.
Yeah. And what are you advocating in these plans? What really stands out to you?
Yeah. So one of the things is every year there are federal dollars that go to states for biking and walking. And in addition to seeing an increase in that, we're seeing a few really important details on things like making sure states actually have to spend that money on biking and walking, or if they don't, they have to sort of prove that there's no eligible projects on biking and walking. Right now, states are allowed to transfer some of the money to other things, and about 20% goes to other things right now. So it would just make it a little bit harder for states to say, oh no, we don't need to prioritize biking and walking. We have other things we want to do with that money. So we're excited about that. It also helps local communities, and especially rural and lower income communities, apply for that funding and actually take advantage, so they can do things like build out, you know, sidewalk networks and add bike lanes to their streets and improve their streets. So those are some of the things we're really excited about. On the safety front, you know, collecting data about people who bike and walk that are involved in crashes and making sure that there's better systems in place to prevent those crashes going forwards and move away from a system where we're used to seeing traffic fatalities as a normal, you know, part of American life.
Yeah, we're going to dig more into the data in a bit. But Kirsten, from your vantage point, what are your top priorities when you talk to lawmakers at the federal level about infrastructure and about transportation funding?
Yeah, unfortunately, the huge increase in funding levels for cycling that we're seeing on the national level are not translating to the statewide level. We've been frozen at $7.04 million that we spend on biking and walking here in Wisconsin. And as Amelia indicated, currently we transfer 50% of our transportation alternatives funding to road projects. So one of our priorities is to have more of that money go for biking and walking in the state. Governor Evers had put an additional $1 million for TAP in his version of the budget, but the Joint Finance Committee unfortunately took it out.
Hmm. So I wonder, you know, what, Kirsten, how could you design incentives for lawmakers, you know, for transportation architects and planners to kind of elevate bicycling in their designs and make more improvements in more projects for bikers and keep this money where it is being directed toward?
Well, I think that the federal incentives hopefully will really help with that situation. And, you know, one of the tacks that we're taking is really emphasizing how much cycling brings into our state. It's a $1.42 billion a year industry in Wisconsin, and that was in 2017, pre-pandemic. And we know that that spending on cycling has just grown since then.
Hmm. Amelia, what do you see on the national level with the return on investment with cycling projects?
Yeah, it's huge, and it doesn't just stop at the economics. you know, there's so many benefits, health, sustainability, and, you know, it's there, all of those things are sort of intertwined. I just saw a stat today that, you know, related to health on an economic level, $117 billion in annual healthcare costs are associated with inadequate physical activity. So if you think about biking and walking as a way to increase physical activity and all of the different benefits of that, it's all, there's a lot there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amelia, is it normal for states to transfer away quite a bit of funding that is supposed to be going toward cycling, bicycling projects in their roads and transportation?
Vary a lot from state to state. And the 20% stat that I listed earlier is sort of the average. And like Kirsten said, Wisconsin is at 50. So some states are much higher, some states are lower. And that's something that we keep an eye on through our Bicycle Friendly State program, and that states are graded on every other year through our Bicycle Friendly State program. So it's an area where Wisconsin, you know, got much lower scores than a lot of other states. And it's something that we hope can improve in the state to benefit everybody who bikes and walks in Wisconsin.
Kirsten, let's look at some key priorities that you have, project priorities that you're hoping to get funds for, you know, whether it's to fix or to add. What are those top priorities?
Well, some of our priorities include funds for trail maintenance. We are seeing maintenance issues on trails that are only exacerbated by the increased usage. There's been a big sinkhole on the Oak Leaf Trail in Milwaukee. The Elroy Sparta Trail has had some severe damage from flooding that we received FEMA funding for, but it has been out of commission in parts since 2018. We would love to see more trail connections in our state. For example, we would love to connect Milwaukee and Madison completely by bike trail. There's just a 10-mile segment that prevents that from happening. 10 miles, yeah, from connecting the Cap City Trail with the Glacial Drumlin Trail. So that would be very exciting.
Yeah. You know, going back to the Elroy Sparta Trail, this was the first Rails to Trails project in the country. I mean, it's a real notable trail, 30-some miles. And right now, it looks like about nearly 10 miles is completely closed due to the storm damage.
That's correct. And I was in a meeting with Representative Tony Kurtz from that area, and he was saying that that is their one tourist attraction in Sparta. So on top of the pandemic, having that trail closed has really adversely affected their tourism, the businesses that rely on the trails for their livelihood.
Mm. Amelia, how do you see cycling and trails impacting tourism at the national level?
Yeah, so trails are a really critical part of creating places that feel safe for all ages and abilities. And so many communities are relying on trails to bring in, you know, biking as a form of recreation, including tourism, and, you know, connecting communities, making long distance biking a possibility, and creating those sort of low stress biking environments that, you know, you can comfortably ride on with your kids or, you know, on an adaptive bicycle. And so we're seeing, you know, especially in the last year, as more and more people are getting out on bikes as a way to get out of the house during the pandemic when social distancing was such a challenge, trail usage has been really up across the country. And so the challenge of making sure those trails are in good shape and can, you know, meet that added capacity and are actually, you know, providing enough space for everyone has been a challenge for a lot of local communities. But we're excited to see so many places, you know, recognize that increased usage as an opportunity to, you know, add investments to their trail network.
Yeah, well, just like if you have more cars on the road, you're going to have more maintenance issues with those roads. I guess the same would be true for bikes and bike trails.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see it, you know, both in the urban setting on, you know, bike lanes, especially if you've got a protected bike lane that's really popular, you need to make sure that it can meet that capacity once everyone's back downtown starting to ride their bikes to work, you know, making sure the bike lanes can accommodate in addition to the trails. It's definitely an important issue, just like you said, just like for driving and cars.
Amelia Neptune, she directs the Bicycle Friendly America program for the League of American Bicyclists in Washington, D.C. Kirsten Finn is with us, Executive Director of Wisconsin Bike Fed. Where do you wish bike lanes or paths or trails could be built? What are the top priorities for bike paths in your community? How often do you ride a bike and why? Where do you go from point A to point B? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing infrastructure, planning, and the conditions for moving around by bicycle in Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Bike Fed is advocating for the return of the so-called Complete Streets Law, requiring planners to consider bikes and pedestrians and, if possible, accommodate them whenever a road is built or reconstructed using state and federal dollars. How do you feel about complete streets legislation? Would you support more state transportation dollars paying for bike projects? Or should the focus remain on building and fixing streets for cars? Join in 800-642-1234. Kirsten Finn heads up the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Amelia Neptune is with the League of American Bicyclists, and they're with us for the hour. Let's bring in a cyclist, Bill in Eau Claire. Hi, Bill. What is on your mind?
Hello. I was just calling to talk about how, as a biker, I go from everywhere I go, I commute by bike. And it bothers me that biking seems to only be treated as recreation and never as a legitimate form of transportation.
Mm. What do you see out there, Bill, that makes you draw that conclusion?
I've noticed that whenever I need to go from one place to another, it's almost always shorter to go by car than to go by bike distance-wise. Bike paths are rarely ever straight, and the straightest paths are usually roads that do not allow bikes on them.
Bill, thank you. Kirsten, what do you make of what Bill's saying?
I think that that's accurate. I mean, we're seeing some plans that are very thoughtful about interconnecting places. I'm thinking about Vilas County. They have a great trail system called the Heart of Vilas County, and they just built a segment called the Conover Phelps Trail, and it just connects Conover with Phelps, and it's a direct, straight, flat trail to get from point A to point B. But I agree with Bill that more of that is necessary for sure.
Amelia, what do you think that, you know, we tend to treat bicycling as recreation and not just getting from point A to point B, that commuting?
Yeah, I think it poses a real challenge for bike advocates because, you know, a big part of our message is that bikes are such an amazing solution, helping connect people to jobs, getting kids to school. You know, there's so much you can do on a bike. You can get your groceries. You know, a lot of people who have never considered biking for transportation might not realize how easy it can be. And I think once we start to, you know, sort of open up the public's mind to biking as a real transportation option, it starts to make a lot more sense to, you know, focus on things like complete streets and making sure everyone can safely get to their destination by bike. And it's a big part of our focus at the League of American Bicyclists is making sure that biking is a feasible option for transportation, and, you know, through programs like our Bicycle Friendly Business Program, thinking about commuters and you know, what it takes to get someone to choose to bike to work. And, you know, all the way down the line, it's a lot of our programs are all about helping people choose to bike, whether it's for transportation or recreation. But, you know, it's similar to what Kirsten was saying, you need a network in order for people to feel safe to choose to bike, you know, on the street and not just on the trail. Getting to the library or the doctor's office or their work, you need to make sure the entire route is safe. If there's one difficult road to cross, that's probably enough to stop a lot of people from choosing to get there by bike. Mm. So that's why you need to think about this sort of holistic network across the entire community, connecting point A to point B, and making sure it's not just, you know, a mile here, a mile there, disconnected bike lanes and trails.
And a barrier for one person may not be a barrier for another or vice versa, but you really have to look at all of those possible things that could stop someone from not getting on their bike and going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Amelia,
if I can add on to what Amelia was saying,
sure.
one thing that really helps encourage people to bike to work is having their businesses provide facilities for them to store their bike, things like lockers and showers. And so that's where the bicycle-friendly businesses portion of the League of American Bicyclists scorecard is so important.
Mm, yeah. Kirsten, do you see that there is any movement on that? You know, once you do get to work, well, you know, what do you do with that bike and where do you put it? Where do you lock it up? And how do you make sure you can change into your work clothes?
Absolutely. And, you know, the Wisconsin Bike Fed helps to provide resources for businesses who are interested in becoming more bike friendly. They can reach out to us if they go on our website, wisconsinbikefed.org, and we have tips and resources that we can provide to anyone who's interested in becoming more bicycle friendly.
If you're just joining us, we're discussing ideas to improve Wisconsin for bicyclists. We have Kirsten Finn, who leads the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Amelia Neptune is here, and she's with the League of American Bicyclists. You can join in on what it means to cycle in your community. Where do you prefer bike lanes to be, paths, trails? What would be ideal for you so that you would be able to bike more? 800-642-1234. Amelia, the League of American Bicyclists, you ranked Wisconsin third in the country nearly a decade ago for bike friendliness. And the most recent ranking puts us way in the bottom half of the country, 29th. What happened?
Yeah, so it was a really big jump. And Wisconsin was in the top 10 for, you know, the first, I think, 5 or 10 years of the Bicycle Friendly State program. And in 2015, when the state repealed their complete streets law, that's when it jumped down significantly, I think first to 26th and now to 29th place, like you said. And repealing that law was a really big deal. It's actually the only state in the country that has done that. Some states still don't have complete streets policies or laws, and we're working on getting every state to get one because we do think it's really important. But repealing, having a law and then repealing it was just a huge sign of backsliding. That wasn't the only thing. There were some other things like how funding is allocated. Kirsten touched on this earlier, but, you know, over the last few years, there were some really major highway building projects while reducing spending on biking and walking, and just, you know, seeing those priorities play out that way. One third thing I'll mention is Wisconsin has a bicycle plan that's called the Wisconsin Bicycle Transportation Plan 2020. It's now 2021. That plan was passed in 1998. So clearly, you know, it's in need of an update. And so much has changed in our understanding of what good bike infrastructure looks like, what, you know, what the safest techniques are for engineering and planning. You know, things like bike share didn't exist in 1998. So much has changed. And that's why we want to see states with an updated bike plan at least every 10 years. So those three things, the funding, the complete streets law, and the outdated bike plan, were huge areas where Wisconsin, you know, moved down in our program and has the opportunity to move back up with some changes.
Kirsten, can you jump in on the complete streets law, what it is and how it works?
Yeah, so the complete streets law is just a law that says that when roads are built or redone with federal dollars, that facilities are put in to make things convenient and safer for all users. It's a mandate that prioritizes the convenience and safety of all people and not just people who are in cars. So the reasoning in 2015 when the mandate was struck down was that it added too much cost to road projects. But I think that when it is part of the initial design, that simply is not so.
Yeah. On the other points that Amelia made, what stands out to you?
Well, the Wisconsin Bike Plan is something that we have been talking about for a while. And I reached out to Secretary Thompson, and he assured me that a new bike plan will be part of the DOT's Connect 2050 statewide transportation plan. Mm-hmm. They are just putting the broad strokes for the state together now, finishing in the fall, and then they will be creating individual plans for each mode. So a new bike plan is in the works, and we are very excited to be part of that.
Let's bring in Courtney in Menasha. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had jumped in kind of after I heard you talking about transportation, but I am currently in human resources in the Fox Cities. And from a transportation st- standpoint, I really would like to see more trails connecting our businesses that cater towards the lower income population. I've noted that as a biker myself, a lot of the great trails that we have are more with the built out suburban areas. And it would be nice to see more connections among local businesses. Our bus system doesn't run on Sundays. So for those employees that need public transportation, that's one less day, one more day they might have to pay for an Uber or spend.
Yeah, Courtney, we're going to get some answers here on the other side of this news break as we talk with Kirsten Finn, who heads up the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Amelia Neptune directs the Bicycle Friendly America program for the League of American Bicyclists. You can join in. How often do you ride? What would make you bike more often? Have you been in a bike crash before? What happened? And were you compelled to keep on biking, or have you refrained since the accident? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking about biking in Wisconsin and policy actions that would improve access to everyday type destinations. Think school, work, grocery store. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In many states, cycling advocates and transportation planners, they work hand in hand. Here in Wisconsin, we score D+ in two key areas, infrastructure and funding and policies and programs. That's from the Bike Friendly State Report Card. How do you think Wisconsin could improve its streets and trails? 800-642-1234. Kirsten Finn is Executive Director of Wisconsin Bike Fed. Amelia Neptune directs the Bicycle Friendly America program at the League of American Bicyclists, which puts out that state-by-state report card. Kirsten, as we were talking there with Courtney and Menasha, who works in the Fox Valley, wanting to see more businesses connected by bike paths, and also not just putting trails in higher end, you know, high income developments in the suburbs.
She's absolutely correct. And Amelia can talk to about this in a moment, but equity is a huge focus for the next Bicycle Friendly State survey. And the problem is not just with trails, but amenities like protected bike lanes are seldom found in lower income neighborhoods. And where there are bike lanes, they are often just paint. And in Milwaukee, where I live, reckless driving has become such an epidemic that it is terrifying, quite frankly, to be in an unprotected bike lane in the city. And so prioritizing trail projects that increase equitable access to recreation and increase access to jobs and services and stores absolutely needs to be a priority.
Amelia, how does the League approach equity?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like Kirsten said, it is a really essential part of looking at these issues of, you know, what does it mean to be bicycle friendly? Bicycle friendly for who? You know, making sure that if you've got a bike lane, you know, is it actually, you know, helping the people who need it the most? Is bike infrastructure in the community just in the, you know, high income, high wealth areas of the community? Or is it actually helping people get from point A to point B, regardless of income, race, gender, you know, so on and so forth. So through our Bicycle Friendly State program, Bicycle Friendly Community program, we are looking more and more at those issues. I'll also add that on the federal policy level, this is another thing we're really excited to see coming out of the bills being drafted in Washington is a focus on equity. So, for example, that increased funding that I was talking about earlier, another aspect that's been added both in the Senate and House versions of the bill is a requirement that states prioritize high need communities. Hmm. And I think in both cases, it allows states to define what that means, what a high need area or a high need community. But I think it's exactly what Courtney was talking about. The communities that need transportation solutions the most will be most likely to get this transportation alternatives funding for biking and walking improvements. So things like, you know, improving your bus stops, improving your sidewalks, improving your bike lanes, all of that, making sure that goes to the communities that need it the most.
Moving on to the issue of bike accidents, Mark is joining us from Door County with a perspective. Mark, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. bike accidents, the first thing was that struck me is the woman called just a few minutes ago. She said she was in HR. And the idea about more trails, I mean, within the city and between businesses, that's a fantastic. We could solve a lot of problems. I bet you we could solve climate trains if problems if there were more bike trails available to people, especially inside the city. Instead of just the roads, highways. When my wife and I need to bike, we have to load the bikes up and get out of town someplace where there's something decent to take. So, yeah, I think that would go a long ways. We should see more bike trails. I really believe people would take advantage of that. It'd cut down on fuel costs, probably solve climate change. And as far as the accident, yeah, I want to say about 15 years ago, we were in an accident. My wife took the brunt of it and ended up with a concussion and problems to this day. Funny, not so funny, was before we set out for our ride that day, we looked at each other and said, you know, we should get helmets, but we took off anyway, and that's the day she could have used a helmet.
Oh, wow. Mark, thank you for calling in. Kirsten, you know, Mark brings up a number of points there, but first, safety.
Safety is always a concern for cyclists. You know, I advocate always wearing a helmet. We do not advocate for a helmet law, however, because we find that that often adds to disproportionate policing of Black and brown communities. But I think that part of the key to safety is educating drivers on interacting with vulnerable users. And I think part of that is we need a return to driver's ed in schools. In many urban schools in particular, driver's ed is no longer offered. And so, you know, I'm not sure if the accident that Mark was referring to was an accident with a car, but certainly that is the biggest fear for cyclists.
Amelia, as you collect crash data, what do you see?
Yeah, well, you hit right on it. The data is really lacking because so many people who are in more minor crashes don't report it. Someone who's just on a bike that, you know, hits a pothole and they're by themselves, no one else was involved. They probably don't think to call the police and report that. And we see really interesting disparities in hospital crash data versus police crash data, because, you know, trips to the hospital probably results in more things being reported. But again, if you fall and scrape your knee, you're probably not going to report that to anyone. And that's a real challenge for so many communities to make sure they have accurate data about where these crashes are happening, you know, what the most dangerous intersections or sections of road are. And, you know, overall, we see the need for collecting this data as a huge priority. And, you know, while we're talking about equity, making sure that data is, you know, correlated to race, ethnicity, income, all of those things, not just for the person involved, but sort of the neighborhood or the street where it's happening, making sure that there's a lens of equity and making sure equitable outcomes in terms of safety are a priority as well.
But I would assume that collecting the data is one thing, but acting on that data, on those data points, is another thing in order to make those, improvements.
Absolutely. So that's another big piece, is making sure that whoever is collecting the data, assuming it's there, is handing that over to planners and engineers who are working to make the streets safer and the trails safer. And so there is a lot of good guidance out there for community planners to, you know, figure out what to do with that data and make sure that they know, okay, this is what an intersection should look like. To get the bicyclist from this section of the bike lane to that section of the bike lane and not worry about turning cars. You know, there are a lot of things we've learned over the years, and this gets back to having a bike plan from 1998. We now know, you know, about door zones for bike lanes and about right hooks for, when a car turns right in front of a person on a bike going through the intersection in the bike lane. You know, there are these key points where we see higher than average crashes and sort of negative interactions between people on bikes and people in cars. And so planners and engineers are figuring out how to resolve those things and build the infrastructure so that everyone has a safe space on the street. And, you know, that concept of complete streets, so much of that is safety and making sure that you can sort of coexist without worrying about, you know, those crashes that, you know, have been so common.
We're talking about transportation policy with two advocates for bicyclists. We have Amelia Neptune, who works for the League of American Bicyclists, and Kirsten Finn, who leads Wisconsin Bike Fed. Diane is joining us from Iron County. Diane, what is your suggestion?
Yeah, I live off of County FF, which is considered a bike route, but there is virtually no, side off the side of the road. It's very curvy. It's 45 miles per hour. Mm. I would ride my bike to town. I live right by the county park. There's a lot of people who bring their bikes, and I see them load them up and go to Vilas to get on the bike trails. And I think we're missing out on a lot of different positive aspects if FF were more bike friendly.
Yeah, Diane, thank you. You know, Kirsten, what does it take to make a shoulder accessible to bikes and safe for bikes?
I think on rural roads like that, we really need a wider shoulder or a separate facility completely for bicycles. We get complaints like that about rural roads quite frequently. People often exceed the speed limit. There's nowhere really to go if you're on the shoulder. Often there's a very steep ditch on the side of the road. Often there's pea gravel, which makes it even less safe for bicyclists. So really, Diane had indicated that people go to Vilas County to ride. They're really doing it right there. I remember visiting Eagle River when I was younger, and the roads were all like the ones that Diane described, like County FF. And now they have kind of built separate facilities for people to get from town to town in Vilas County. And we really need more of that separate direct facility, but also wider shoulders for roads that are considered bikeways.
Yeah. Kathy in Dodgeville sent an email and says there's a nice trail from Dodgeville to Mineral Point after Highway 151 was improved a few years ago. Kathy says, unfortunately, the access to the off-road, for the most part, the trail is along the highway where the speed limit is at 55 miles an hour. And they've suggested that the speed limit maybe reduced to accommodate cyclists. Cyclists who use the bike-friendly roads would also be happy if the potholes and shoulders, Kathy says, would be improved. Is there any ability to either lower speed limits, Kirsten, or make better signage or you know, somehow make these roads safer?
One thing that the Bike Fed is working on with the Office of Outdoor Recreation is a community toolkit. Hopefully we will have that out by the end of the year, just to help people to address the issues that are in their local communities. When they contact the Bike Fed and we kind of get that on our radar, we can help direct people toward resources. But we also would love to give people just a toolkit that they can start working on their local legislators to address problem areas on the network.
Yeah. Amelia, do you find at the national level that these types of toolkits give communities kind of that nuts and bolts of figuring out how to navigate this?
Absolutely. And it's so great to have statewide groups like the Wisconsin Bike Fed there to assist communities more directly than we can do at a national level. It's really great to have that kind of partnership and those resources from groups like them. I think it's really fantastic. And we have seen some really great results in other states from partnerships like that. So excited to see that continue in Wisconsin.
Amelia Neptune, she directs the Bicycle Friendly America program for the League of American Bicyclists. It's based in Washington, D.C. Kirsten Finn leads the Wisconsin Bike Fed. How do you think Wisconsin could improve its streets and trails for bicyclists? What needs to happen? Where would you direct funding and why? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Cycling advocates have long pushed to make communities and thoroughfares more conducive for getting around by bike by biking, by rolling, by walking. And for making these trips safer in our state, there were more than 750 bike crashes in 2019 and 14 bicyclists died in crashes. That's the latest Transportation Department data. Kirsten Finn is from the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Amelia Neptune is with the League of American Bicyclists in Washington, D.C. They're with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's go to Alex now in the Fox Cities. Hi, Alex. What is on your mind?
Hi. First, I would like to preface this with I am pro-biker. My brother is in California. That is his mode of transportation, is a bicyclist. But I have a comment and a request. I agree that bicyclists should be able to share the road. They should have special lanes, all of that. But please, people who bicycle need to follow the same laws, regulations that any vehicle on the road needs to follow. This morning, this is not the first time this has happened, but this morning I had a bicyclist in his lane. We come up to a stop sign. He did not stop. He just rolled through and took a right-hand turn. I was also taking a right-hand turn. I stopped. I turned right. He then proceeded to go into my lane without using a directional and turn left in front of me. That's very dangerous. And this is not the first time that bicyclists have done this when I've been driving. I actually had an instance where a gentleman, an older gentleman, blew through a stop sign in front of me. And if I went ahead quick reaction, I would have hit him. And that would not have been my fault. He broke the law. So it's one of those things where I believe, yes, you should be able to share the road with us. You should be able to use a bicycle as a mode of transportation, but you're not above the law because you think you can sneak through and not have to stop or use your hand signals for directionals.
Alex, thank you. Amelia, you first.
Sure. So the League has an education program that we train people to teach bike safety in their communities. And it's a really important program to make sure that people do understand the rules of the road, including the fact that you have to follow the rules of the road. You know, you need to speed, you need to travel in the same direction as the, you know, vehicles travel, and you need to stop at stop signs and so on and so forth. And so that's a really important program that the League works on, and it's for youth and adults. And, you know, it is a challenge getting those messages out to everyone. But, you know, I'd say that same kind of behavior, you do see it with vehicles, too, with drivers as well. And so I think everyone needs to work on, you know, some behavior change and some lessons learned. That education, like Kirsten said earlier, is really necessary for drivers and bicyclists. That's part of what we try to provide to communities all across the country is a mechanism and a curriculum to teach those lessons for bike safety.
Kirsten, what are your thoughts on following the rules of the road and how we're doing in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I agree with Alex. You know, if cyclists want the same rights as drivers, they certainly have the same responsibilities to follow traffic laws as drivers do. And a lot of our transportation alternatives funding in Wisconsin goes to a program called Safe Routes to School, which is a statewide program. And the Bike Fed is in charge of those programs in Milwaukee and Madison. And they teach children how to safely navigate their way to school and everywhere, really, by bike or by foot. And part of that is a bike driver's ed component. And it's certainly something that I think adults need as well as kids. We do teach some savvy city cycling classes where we encourage adults to improve their skills in terms of the way they interact with cars in traffic.
Yeah. You know, Kirsten, your league joined other groups in urging steps toward eliminating traffic deaths by 2050, the Vision Zero push. What have you seen out of the president's administration so far?
I think so far so good with the Biden administration. I think that all of the investments that we're seeing in bicycling infrastructure will lead to greater outcomes in terms of safety.
Yeah. Virginia now in Milwaukee is with us. Virginia, hi. How is biking in your city?
Well, there's a lot of pros and cons. There's I think there's a lot of good trails. Can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Okay, great. I think there's a lot of good dedicated trails where they're off-road, as well as some that are combined with streets. But I am very much in favor of the Complete Streets program. However, I have a question about a proposal that we just learned about that would, in order to accommodate wider bike lanes on a boulevard, Humboldt Boulevard in Milwaukee, there's a proposal to cut down 258 mature trees. And I just, as a real strong environmental advocate and knowing what the effects of trees are in terms of the heat island effect and climate mitigation, I was just surprised. I wonder what you thought about the idea of cutting down a lot of mature trees in order to increase bike lanes.
Kirsten.
Yeah, I do believe, Virginia, that that proposal on Humboldt Boulevard was shot down. I don't think that that will go forward. But I do think that there could have been some better work done in advance of that proposal being forwarded in the design that might have mitigated the need to cut those trees down.
Yeah. Virginia, thank you for that. Amelia, the League issued Wisconsin an F grade for how much it understands people who bike and walk, and the state fails to collect adequate data. You know, what more do we need to know from people as to how they go about their biking or their walking?
Yeah, so we try to encourage a combination of data collection efforts that includes the quantitative, you know, trail counts, automated counters on streets and facilities, any kind of bike facility, as well as streets that don't have bike facilities, because the truth is there aren't facilities everywhere. And, you know, a lot of people are biking on regular streets without bike lanes. So making sure those ridership counts are happening in a regular sort of automated way. Manual counts are also really important. So you can capture things like demographics, you know, race, gender, age, was there a child on the back of the bike, those kinds of things. Also behavior, how many people are blowing through this stop sign. Those things are harder to capture with an automated counter. So, you know, having someone, some volunteers on the corner with, you know, clipboards taking notes on what they see is really important. And then on top of all of that, listening to actual people who bike or who want to bike and face barriers, for the more qualitative aspects of, you know, does it feel safe? Does it feel comfortable? Would you bike here? What would encourage you to bike more often? We want to see states and cities collect all of that information and use that to inform their decisions on what kind of infrastructure they're going to build. And there's been a lot of really exciting things in the last year of, you know, pop-up infrastructure and communities experimenting with temporary facilities in order to get people's feedback on it, so that people can actually see and experience the types of infrastructure they're giving feedback on. So community involvement is really critical. Community input is really critical. And it's part of the data piece. It's not just numbers. It's also, you know, listening to people.
Amelia and Kirsten, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Kirsten Finn is Executive Director of Wisconsin Bike Fed. Amelia Neptune is Director of the Bicycle Friendly America Program for the League of American Bicyclists. It's based in Washington, D.C. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.